Oh God. What happens here? Imam Hussein alayhi salam wants to make his move from Medina out to towards Mecca. So now you have to choose a route to take. You have to choose a route to take to Mecca. There's different routes that you can take. So a suggestion is made to the Imam. Now that he wants to go, a suggestion is made to him that if you're gonna go, at least take a route that's safe. Of course, it makes sense, right? Makes sense to take the safer route. You need to be protected. This is what the Imam says in response. Now, right here, we need to talk a little bit about what happened a few nights before. A few nights before, if you remember, when the Imam was summoned by Walid bin Utbah, the governor of Medina, the one who is representing Yazid now, is summoned. He's summoned. Imam Hussein is summoned by him, and he tells him that you have to give bay'ah or death. If you remember, we covered that before. The letter that came from Yazid to this Walid bin Utbah had three names in it, if you recall. One of those names was Imam Hussein's name. There were two other ones, Abdullah bin Umar and Abdullah bin Zubayr. Now here, if those of you who are paying attention, you'll remember that I hinted at this in passing, that Abdullah bin Umar wasn't even in town when this letter came and Yazid was saying, make sure you get bay'ah from him. Abdullah bin Zubayr was sitting with Imam Hussein in the Masjid of Rasulullah when, according to some accounts, when they were summoned. Abdullah bin Zubayr, apparently, in that same night, he flees. He flees from Medina. Imam Hussein stayed. Abdullah bin Zubayr fled and he took a route other than the normal route from Medina to Mecca. And as time passes, brothers and sisters, you should always know Abdullah bin Zubayr, his name is tied with Mecca. After Ashura, he was there. And that's where that became his base. Mecca became the base of Abdullah bin Zubayr, the son of Zubayr. Who was Zubayr? We all know who Zubayr was, right? Yeah, one of the main, let's we can call maybe, I don't want to say the word, but one of the main culprits of, one of the main issues of the Battle of Jamal. So this is his son Abdullah. We're going to talk about him later. Okay, take a rain check on that. It's a very important figure that we need to talk about later. Anyway, Abdullah bin Zubair has left, taken a route that no one knows, not the main route. Now it's Imam Hussein's turn to leave Medina. His life is in danger. One, two, they want bay'ah from him. He's not going to give bay'ah. So he's going to leave too. So someone suggests to him, "Oh, Abu Abdullah, let's take the route, that others don't know about. Not the main route where you have all these soldiers and guards and all that across it." What does Imam Hussein say? He says, "La wallah, la ufariquhu hatta yaqdiya Allahu ma huwa qad." I'm not going to leave this route. By Allah, I'm not going to leave this route. My movement has to make as much noise as it can. They're telling me to go and play hide and seek, to go through, take another route. No one knows where he went. No one even knows he left. No. As a matter of fact, everyone has to know where I am, what I'm doing, what I'm saying, so that 1400 years later, you and I can sit here. And inshallah, take from these majalis motivation to be better Muslims throughout the year. Yeah. So he says, "No, I will never." So he leaves Medina. When he's leaving Medina, he recites Surah Qasas, verse 21, part of it, or verse 21. He says, "فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبُ قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ." He's leaving the city. He recites this verse. The Imam. This verse is talking about the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. When Prophet Musa got into that argument and into that fight with one of the oppressive soldiers of the Pharaoh, we all know the story, right? He punched them. They say Prophet Musa was pretty strong. Some people out there, they're strong, they don't know it. They'll stroke you, but you get knocked out. Prophet Musa, they say, was strong. He punches this soldier who was oppressing somebody else, and that person who is associated in some way with Prophet Musa and is a good person, calls out for help. Prophet Musa is there. He punches the soldier, and before, and what do you know? The guy falls and dies. Prophet Musa, now they're in his pursuit after this. What happens? You can't kill a soldier of the government. So now they're after him. Eventually, Prophet Musa has to leave Egypt. He was living where? In Egypt. Where? In the palace, maybe even, of the Pharaoh himself. In all of that lavish lifestyle, he grew up there. Allah wants him to be prophet. Now some Mufassirin have said this, that okay, Allah wants to make him a prophet. You can't become a prophet coming out of the palace of the king of Egypt. You can't do that. It's not going to work. Prophet Musa has to be taken out of that lifestyle for a while. We all know how he ended up there, right? I don't want to say the whole story of Prophet Musa. Take him out. Take him to Madian. He's going to have to work hard now. Sweat. To gain a living. To make a living. He goes to Madian. Why? So they can't pursue him anymore. They say Madian is below Sham and above Hijaz. Somewhere over there. He goes to that land, which is now separate from Egypt. They can't take him in anymore. So Prophet Musa goes. The Quran says this now about Prophet Musa when he's leaving Egypt. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا. So he left it. خَائِفًا. While he had fear. Fear for his life. يَتَرَقَّبْ. In anticipation. Anticipating the worst. When you know they're pursuing you, there's always a chance that someone's going to find you. So you have this negative, bad anticipation in you. Yeah, this anxiety in you that they might catch me, they might find me. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. So he said to Allah, Prophet Musa, O Allah, save me from the oppressive people. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he's leaving Medina now, and he's going to take the main route, he recites this verse. And so they go now. He's left Medina, he's going. And they say once he reaches Mecca, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, about 5 days after they leave Medina, they arrive in Mecca. They arrive in Mecca, and once he is entering, he says, he recites Surah Qasas verse 22, the verse that comes after that verse we just discussed. وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَنْ قَالَ عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. That when Prophet Musa turned towards Madian, after he left Egypt, he said, I have hope that my creator, Prophet Musa says this, and nurturer will guide me to the right path. So now I'm moving towards there. Now here also Imam Hussein is arriving in Mecca. He says, it is close that Allah has something for me in store that he's going to guide me to, which is the right path. What is that? The path of Shahada. This is the beginning, brothers and sisters. It has begun. Imam Hussein is on his journey. As I said, a never-ending journey until Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, inshallah, returns. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali. So we're not after protecting ourselves to take the other route. No. We're after protecting Islam. Protecting Islam here dictates that I make as much noise as I can and I put myself out there. And whenever Allah wants, the swords and the arrows will come down on me. Whatever that's going to be. Is it going to be on the way to Mecca? What if it's in Mecca? What if it's on the way to Kufa? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Allah is going to choose when this is going to happen. He's going to guide me to that which I need to be guided to. For me, what's my job? Just fulfill what I have to do. What my responsibility is. Right now I have come to the conclusion, I go to Mecca. I will go to Mecca. He goes on. Another saying by Imam Hussein. And this is the important one. We're going to stop on this a little bit. Ya Aba Abdurrahman, Ama alimt anna min awan ad-dunya ala Allah anna ra'sa Yahya ibn Zakariya uhdiya ila baghiyan min baghaya bani Israel. Ittaqillah ya Aba Abdurrahman wa la tad'anna nusrati. What happened here? What's this all about? The Imam has left Medina. After 5 days, arrives in Mecca. Who does he run into? The third guy that was on the list. Abdullah bin Zubayr had already left in the dark of the night. Abdullah bin Umar had gone to Mecca. He was out of town, as I said, doing Umrah. Imam Hussein comes into Mecca and he runs into Abdullah bin Umar. Who is Abdullah bin Umar? Abdullah bin Umar is the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Right, we have a lot to talk about tonight. Abdullah bin Umar is revered, of course, by our Sunni brothers and sisters as a Sahabi, as a companion of Rasulullah. But of course, in the Shia school, as you shall see, there are reservations. There is criticism. Because the Shia school, as we all know, the Shia school doesn't say anyone is set to go, is good to go. No. Every person, it doesn't matter if they're even an imam, is held accountable for their actions. The imam themselves, Imam al-Baqir, alayhi salatu wasalam, in al-Kafi, recite salawat. He's upset that the Shia say there are Shia, but they don't follow us. They don't practice what we tell them to do. And then the imams, they say, we're going to be held accountable for our actions before Allah, let alone our Shia. If anyone is going to be immune to the reckoning of Allah, it's going to be the Masumin, yeah? No, the Hadith, they say, they tell us. We're responsible for what we do, let alone our Shia. So now the Shia school, that's how we look at it. Everyone is held accountable for what they do. It doesn't matter, even if they're a Sahabi. They're not good to go. They can be questioned in our, of course, opinion, with all respect that we have for the good Sahaba. All right. What's the story all about? Abdullah bin Umar, this Sahabi, this important figure, because he's one of the three that Yazid has said, I want that person's bay'ah in Medina. Make sure he gives me bay'ah. What does he say? Here onwards, I'm reading the Maqtal of Khwarizmi. He says, Abdullah bin Umar said to Imam Hussein, O Aba Abdullah, since the people have given their bay'ah to this man, Yazid, and he is the one with the dirhams and the dinars, in other words, he's the one with the Benjamins, then naturally they will all be inclined towards him. The people have given him bay'ah, he's the one with the wealth. The people, of course, they're going to be inclined towards him, and they will also bear the hate of your family. O Imam Hussein, they will have the hate of your family in their hearts. Why? Because they have love of dirham and dinar. I fear that if you oppose Yazid, that you and a group of the Muslims will be killed. And I have heard from the Prophet of God that he said Hussein will be killed. And if the people do not aid him, they will suffer from lowliness, zillat, dhilla, an abasement after that. I want you to keep this last line in mind. We're going to have this later, towards the end of our lecture. I've heard the Prophet say, Hussein will be killed. If people don't help him, Allah is going to punish them with what? With dhilla, lowliness. Okay, it's right here, question. O Abdullah bin Umar, if you have heard the Prophet say that Hussein will be killed, so what are you trying to get Imam Hussein out of? Think about it. If the Prophet, أَصْدَقُ الصَّادِقِينَ وَمَا يَنْتُقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ, the Quran says when he speaks, it's revelation. He doesn't speak out of his own desires or out of like his own whim. No. When he speaks, it's revelation. All right. If the Prophet, it shows like people apparently didn't know the status of the Prophet. The Prophet is telling you that my son will be killed in Iraq. Are you trying to get in the way of it when you suggest these things to him? Should we be trying to get him out of that which the Prophet has promised? Or no, make sure that we're doing the right thing when it comes to that which the Prophet has promised. Oh my God, it's so important. Let's try to get in the way. I've heard that you're going to be killed. But this is how he's looking at it. Don't go. What's your suggestion now, Abdullah bin Umar? If you remember Muhammad bin Hanafiya, the brother of Imam Hussein, his suggestion was, send your representatives around the Muslim lands so they get your allegiance from the people for you so you have more power. That was not a bad suggestion. But here, look at this suggestion now, people. Look at this suggestion. And then we're going to talk about this individual a little bit. What's your suggestion? Give allegiance and bay'ah to Yazid. I don't even know why Imam Hussein listened to the rest of it. Give allegiance to Yazid and be at peace with him. Just like everyone else. So like if everyone else is jumping off a cliff, you jump off of a cliff into Jahannam too. And refrain from having the blood of the Muslims spilled. Oh, that's what this is all about. Okay. Alhamdulillah. It's the fact that he wants the blood of the Muslims not to be spilled. And that's why he didn't give bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib in the Battle of Jamal and blood was spilled. It's wrong that the blood of the Muslims be spilled. And Siffin and Nahrawan, he never gave bay'ah to Imam Ali. Because the blood of the Muslims has to be protected. Wow. We're going to see why I'm saying wow as we go on and learn of what this Abdullah bin Umar did later himself. After blood was shed, he went and gave bay'ah to Yazid. We'll talk about that. If he was to get in the way of the blood of the Muslims being spilled now, what about all the pure blood that shall be spilled all the way till the day of judgment? Brothers and sisters, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he told Uthman this too. When Uthman got assassinated, before it, Imam Ali told him that the Prophet has said that, oh Uthman, fix things up, man, because the Prophet has said there will be someone of my people, a master, an imam, the word is, imam meaning leader here, of course, leader of the people, not imam in the Shia sense, that when that person gets killed, there will be bloodshed till the day of judgment. Till the day of judgment. Now, I don't have time to talk about this, but the assassination of Uthman is exactly why the Muslims till today are fighting each other. Because Muawiyah used the assassination of Uthman as an excuse to rise against Ali ibn Abi Talib. If Uthman had not been killed, none of this would have happened. And all of these excuses to all have all these battles with Ali when he's Khalifa, those excuses wouldn't be there. It would be so good. So now, you're telling us, don't let a little bit of bloodshed happen, so what? What happens? All the other bloodshed, you're not going to be able to get in the way of it later. Let's let Yazid come to power, so that the next 10 minutes, no one's blood is shed. But after that, you're going to have bloodshed forever. Why? I mean, where's the insight? Where's the insight? I don't even know if Imam Hussein is listening to the rest of it. The pure blood of Hujr bin Adiz, Maytham al-Tammars, and all of these greats, these greats, were all spilled after that. Why? Or during Muawiyah's time and after that. Why? Because of this mentality. In this case, someone has to tell Imam Ali the same thing. Oh Ali, don't fight in the Battle of Jamal. Don't fight in the Battle of Siffin. Don't fight in the Battle of Nahrawan because blood is being shed. And that's where Wahhabis love Imam Hassan alayhi salam. They say Imam Hassan came after Ali. And he said, you know what, let's be at peace with each other. In other words, I disagree with my father's approach. Na'udhu billah. I disagree with the way my father did things. As a matter of fact, they narrate that Imam Hassan one time got into an argument with his father, Ali ibn Abi Talib. That why, you know, why? And Ali tells him to be quiet and don't go on. He says, why are we like doing this? This is not our narrations, brothers and sisters. It's not our narrations. Pay close attention. The reason why Ali ibn Abi Talib did what he did. The reason why Imam Hussein did what he did is because there was a plan to wipe out all of Islam through bloodshed and more. They're trying to get in the way of that. Abdullah bin Umar. But the problem is that the main population of people is buying this narrative. Is buying this narrative. Muawiyah has come to power. He has told people for 20 years, for example, the verse of the Quran says so. You have to listen to me. Ati'u Allah, obey Allah. Ati'u Rasul, obey the Prophet. Ati'u ulil amr minkum, those who have power over you. I have power over you. I'm so sorry. You know, I mean, it just so happens that I'm the one with power now. So, I mean, look, the verse is saying you gotta listen. Or they would use predestination and predetermination also. This whole concept that we have in Islamic theology. They would use this, that say, hey, people, if Allah didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. So now I'm your leader. Muawiyah says this. So I mean, if Allah wants it, you're going to go against Allah? And people are buying this. Because that's the people, they listen to whatever their masters say. So this is the situation. What is the Imam's reply? O Abu Abdurrahman, that's the kunya of Abdullah bin Umar. Okay, that's the title. One of the titles of Abdullah bin Umar, Abu Abdurrahman. If you wanted to respect someone, you didn't call them by their name. You called them by their kunya. Kunya doesn't mean title, of course. I don't know what the equivalent is for it in English. But you call them by their son, right? Abu al-Fadl, although we're not sure if he had a son. Sometimes, by the name of Fadl. Sometimes the name is father of such and such thing, but that person won't even have a son by that name. This name, this kunya, is there just to show that he is the owner and possessor of fadl and merits. Ya Aba Salih al-Mahdi. Does that mean he has a son by the name of Salih? No. He is the father of and the origin of salah and righteousness. As a matter of fact, let me just say this on the side. When we say Ya Aba Abdullah, some of our ulama have explained that he is the father of Abdullah, of course the infant Abdullah, but also he is the father of anyone who can be referred to as a servant of Allah and an abd of Allah. Because Allah, because if it wasn't for what he did, no one could be an abd today, subhanAllah. This itself, you can just go weep for hours. That how much does Imam Hussein love every single one of us? How much? And Ya Aba Abdullah, we're sorry if we fall short of living up to what you expect of us. In our daily lives, with my parents, with my children, with my wife and spouse, with my fellow brothers and sisters in the center who we're all trying to work together, but then we have grudges against each other and stuff sometimes. May Allah protect us from all of that. So anyway, the Imam says, O Abu Abdurrahman, in other words, O Abdullah bin Umar, O son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, do you not know that this world is so low? Right here, he puts his finger on what the problem with Abdullah bin Umar is. Dunya. He says, do you not know that this dunya is so low and abased that the head of Prophet Yahya, son of Zakariyah, was taken to a fornicating woman of the Bani Israel as a prize or as something to get her satisfaction and gain her satisfaction? Yahya is the Prophet of Allah, son of Zakariyah. He was beheaded, one of the prophets that was beheaded. And this head was taken to one of the worst people of Bani Israel. This is the dunya in Allah's eyes, Imam Hussein is telling him. How low is it that this has to happen? The head of a prophet is taken to a fornicating woman. Do you not know that the Bani Israel used to kill 70 prophets between dawn and sunrise and then would sit in their shops in the marketplaces as if they haven't done anything? Throughout his journey, Imam Hussein makes mention of Yahya. Yeah, because there is going to be a similarity between Yahya and Hussein. But Allah didn't punish them right away. But they eventually were punished and taken revenge from by Allah. Do you not know all of this, O Abdullah bin Umar? Fear Allah, O Abdullah, and don't refrain from aiding me. In other words, you yourself told me right now, if you don't aid me, you told me yourself, the Prophet said it's going to happen. So you know it's going to happen. The Prophet put in your hands isn't whether or not I will be killed or not. That is not in our hands. What is in your hands, though, is that you aiding me or not? And since this is in your hands, I'm telling you, you better aid me. This is the test. You're a great Sahabi. Live up to it. Now here, we have, according to other accounts, an addition to this. That when Abdullah bin Umar hears this, he weeps. And he kisses the chest of the Imam. And then he says, I entrust you to Allah. I leave you in Allah's hands and bid you farewell, for you will be killed on this journey. Really, brothers and sisters? Is that it? You tell me, is that it? You know he's going to be killed. Now you're admitting it yourself that he's going to be killed. And you're bidding him farewell. And you say, I am bidding you farewell. أودعك. I bid you farewell. Subhanallah. How people with words can do the worst of things. Is that all? You think this is like in Farsi saying honare? Is this like something that you should be praised about? That you wept. You kissed the chest of Abu Abdullah. You bid him farewell. You asked Allah to protect him, but you know he's going to be killed. What was the reason we were all brought to this world anyway? It was to fulfill these tests, to pass these exams. You're just failing the exam. This is the last of the five members of the cloak. And you're just letting him go like that. Because when you read this hadith, when you listen to those who are not of the Shia school, you see how they revere these five members of the cloak. And they use it against us. They say, who says we don't love the Ahlul Bayt? We love the members of the cloak more than the Shia. They'll say that sometimes. We just don't believe that we need to follow them in like everything, but we still love them. The Prophet told us to love. Okay, this is a Sahabi that we're getting our Islam from. Of course, not the Shia school, but the Sunni school will get it from. And I'm not here, brothers and sisters, by the way, to cause division between Shia and Sunnah. We're not after that. This is a question that the Shia has always had over the centuries. With all respect, we will not slander. We will not use bad words. But we can question though. Especially in this part of the world. It's okay to question and ask questions. And people who have a little bit of knowledge, they respect questions. This is the question. That this is the last of the five members of the cloak. You're just going to let them go like that. While the people are getting Islam from you. Let me tell you this hadith. It came to my mind right now. That they asked the imams about, why is it that Abu Abdullah's shahada is so great, such a tragedy? The Imam answers. He says, because when the Prophet passed away, there was four left. When Imam Ali left this world, or Fatima Zahra left, there were three left. Imam Ali leaves, Imam Hassan is there, Imam Hussein. When Imam al-Hassan is gone, it's as if all five members of the cloak are in this one member of the cloak. And you're just going to let him go like that, and you say, I'm going to entrust you to Allah. The people, this is where they get their Islam from. You can't blame the people. When the elites are making these mistakes, Ya Allah, but God is my witness that we can't scold Abdullah bin Umar too much. We're making the same mistakes, brothers and sisters. We make the same mistakes, the same tests. No Imam Hussein is going to come back anymore. It's over. If a teacher gives a test to their kids, they're not going to repeat the test again because that's not going to help their kids grow. If they know the same questions are going to be on the test, what are they going to do? They know the answers to that. They're not going to study for the test anymore. The tests are going to always be changing. Mankind, I want you to pay attention to this. Mankind has developed in mental capacity and intelligence. The tests are going to be different. I love you, Imam Hussein. Labbayka ya Hussein. Okay. Labbayka ya Hussein. Imam Hussein isn't here anymore. And he's never going to come back. But the tests continue. If the tests weren't going to continue, we wouldn't be here now. Allah would just wrap up everything. The tests are going on. Another ma'soom brother and sister is not going to come knock on your door. Will you aid me? Because we have heard the story of Abu Abdullah now for 1400 years. We know the answer to this test. And we've fallen in love. But then new tests come. Wedding night. Mixed gathering. One night isn't 1,000 nights. That's the exact same thing. Exact same logic that some used on Ashura. Alhamdulillah, we're not there from in that time. Because the tests we fail sometimes aren't that big of a test. It's not that bad. Okay, we messed up. It's not going to cause everything to change. But at the end of the day, we might be failing some tests. I speak to myself first and foremost. We're not kidding here. One night is not 1,000 nights. Oh my God, that is very scary. Thank God we weren't there in the year 61 AH. We will listen to Ayatollah Burujerdi 364 days of the year. Ayatollah Burujerdi was the marja of his time. It wasn't like today where you have 10, 15 marjas. Back then, it was one. And everyone will look to him and what he has to say. He makes a comment about certain things. certain practices that the Shia are doing, says you shouldn't do this. What is the answer that he hears? We will follow our marja 364 years, but one day of the year we will follow Imam Hussein. Oh my God. This is so dangerous. I don't have time to explain why this is so dangerous. What this will lead to, that Imam Sahib al-Zaman won't come back. That's all I'll tell you. That one day is very important. Kullu yawmin ashura, in a sense, this applies here. Is that one of the days of Allah? Yeah, alright then. The struggle is there too. We will listen to Ayatollah Brujerdi once, 364 days a year, but one day of the year we won't listen to him. Or what some mu'mineen do, unfortunately, on one of the days of the year, they say the pen has been lifted. رُفِعَ الْقَلَمْ Allah is closing His eyes as if right now. We can do whatever we like. I don't know how many of us know what I'm talking about. It's not important. It's not important. This understanding, this mentality of, oh, it's once, let it go. Abdullah bin Umar says, okay, let's just let Hussein go. It'll be over. I mean, same way the brothers of Yusuf, they said we're going to throw him in the well. فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ And then after that, we'll be good and righteous individuals. Just, let's get this over sooner. Even on Ashura, you can tell this is happening on Ashura. Just finish the job of Hussein sooner so that we can get on with it. We know this is very wrong. Just get it over with. That's why on Ashura, Umar ibn Sa'd says, أَنزِلُوا عَلَيْهِ وَأَرِيحُوا Go and relieve him. Finish him. Finish it. Relieve us. The tests are going to always be there, but they're not going to be the same tests, brothers and sisters. Abdullah bin Umar is very controversial for us. Not because he's Umar ibn al-Khattab's son. Because Abu Bakr also had a son by the name of what? Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, who was one of the closest companions of Ali ibn Abi Talib and died in the way of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Doesn't matter whose son you are. How great your father is and mother are, or how bad they are, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you a story. Sometimes you go to these ulama, some of these greats that have traversed, they have put behind them so much spiritual path and roads. They've put it all behind them. You tell them, oh, I've messed up in life. I have a bad past. I have no hope that I'll ever be able to reach those high ranks. The first thing that I would hear them say, some of them, was that, hey, half of the companions of the Prophet, you have to see what they were doing before Islam came. Then you'll have a lot of hope. They were doing a lot of stuff before Islam. So just because he's the son of, it's not because of that that he's controversial. But let me give you three examples of why we have this controversy, why we have criticism here. Number one, he was part of a group of people who never gave their bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Okay, wait a minute. Do you know that he's your imam or not? As I said last night, we have the hadith. Man mata. وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ مَاتَ مَيْتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً A person who dies without knowing his imam doesn't know, is dying non-Muslim. And this is what Ahlul Sunnah teach us, that this hadith exists. Alright, if this is the imam, then, and you know he's the Khalifa, why aren't you giving bay'ah to him? But after Ali ibn Abi Talib is gone, he gives allegiance to Muawiyah and recognizes his rulership as legitimate. This is the problem that we have right here. That's number one. It's because of these actions of these elites, brothers and sisters. It's these elites. And now when I say elites, now I'm going to start, you know, pointing the finger to a certain category of even Shia. We'll talk a little bit about that. And I'll be part of them as well. The elite, whatever they do, will be seen as religion and religiosity. It doesn't matter. If you're sitting on the minbar and you're speaking and you tell people from the minbar, oh people, I'm a human being. Don't look at me what I'm doing off of the minbar. Just look at me when I'm on the minbar. I'm sorry. The minbar is speaking. When you sit on the minbar speaks. Everyone who sees you, the minbar is telling them, hey, this person that's sitting up here, you can take him as a role model. The elites are where people get their deen and religion from. Abdullah bin Umar, if you're not going to give bay'ah to Ali, and then you give bay'ah to Muawiyah and Yazid afterwards, what are they going to people? The people, the masses, they look at you as the elite. This is going to be seen as deen. And that's why till today, people don't think that they're doing something wrong. when they're giving bay'ah, or they believe in Muawiyah, for example. Why? Because the elites were doing that. The elites that were left in that time, they were doing that. So now I have to be careful when I'm sitting up here. Not just when I'm sitting up here. If I'm going to sit up here, and oh Allah, protect me, because I'm weak. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي Prophet Yusuf says, oh Allah, I don't exonerate myself of sin and bad and evil. The nafs is أَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّءِ إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي Except that which Allah has mercy on. Oh Allah, help us all. And especially our elites, or our role models, our figures. If I'm going to sit up here and speak in a way that, about Islam, or off the minbar, be in a way that I am promoting an extravagant version of Islam, a materialistic version of Islam, a version of Islam that doesn't read with our hadith corpus and the Quran, doesn't read with it. I'm known for the kicks that I wear. I'm known for the brands that I wear. I'm known for spending a lot on something. I'm known for, I don't know, hanging out with people I'm not supposed to hang out with. Whatever, I don't know, whatever example you can think of. If I'm going to do that, the people are going to step in my footsteps. The elite have to be super careful what version of Islam they're transferring to the people, which scares you nowadays, because people aren't that worried anymore about learning before speaking, before preaching, before teaching in school, whatever it is going to be, even in Sunday school. Even Sunday school teachers are elite in a sense. They are the elites. They are the role models. They have to be very careful. Someone who's in Sunday school teaching can't be seen outside by those same kids doing something else that they preach against and teach against in school. Elites have to be careful. More careful. Alright, so that's number one. Number two, when Muawiyah is taking allegiance and bay'ah for Yazid, illegitimately, of course, he refuses to give bay'ah. Very good, alhamdulillah. He doesn't give bay'ah, but Muawiyah wasn't worried for him, about him that much. Why? Look at this line. It's been reported different places. Then Muawiyah tells Yazid, فَأَمَّا عَبْدُ bin Umar, and this is a very famous like will that he gives to Yazid. Muawiyah gives to Yazid. Part of that is this. أَمَّا عَبْدُ bin Umar. As for Abdullah bin Umar, فَهُوَ مَعَكْ فَالْزَمْهُ وَلَا تَدَعْهُ He's with you, his heart is with you. So don't worry, stay with him. Hang out with each other. Be buddies. Don't let him go. What happens? After Abdullah bin Umar comes back from Mecca to Medina, he writes a letter to Yazid and announces his support for Yazid. After he comes back from Mecca, he just saw Imam Hussein. A week later, a letter is written to Yazid, or some week later, 5 days later, whatever. Oh Yazid, thank you. I acknowledge you as the Khalifa. Here's my bay'ah. And his loyalty is so high to Yazid, as a matter of fact. Because sometimes you're like, okay, maybe it's taqiyah, you know? Maybe he's doing taqiyah, whatever. No. Sometimes you tell someone, hey, listen, I hate so-and-so, right? So if I'm talking like good in front of them, don't think that I really mean it. But then when they're in front of that person, that guy keeps going on and on and on and on and on. Right? And you're like, okay, wait a minute. If you're protecting your life or securing your interest, it's already secured. You're going on now, bro. Like, okay, now I can tell somebody's wrong. Like, the first 5 minutes was cool, but the next 25 minutes wasn't necessary. Something's wrong with you. All right, so now here, all right, you send a letter, you say, okay, you're Yazid, I'm okay with you, I give you my bay'ah and all of that. But now let's read what we see in Bukhari and At-Tabaqatul Kubra, which is written in the 2nd and 3rd century. Oh my God. Tabaqatul Kubra is one of the sources of all history that we have today of Islam. The more ancient the book, the more value it holds in academic circles. It's written in the 2nd century. Ibn Sa'd was in the 2nd and 3rd century. Alright, let's read this account now to see what that extra 25 minutes I'm talking about is all about. We have an incident that takes place in Medina after Imam Hussein. It's called the incident of Harra. I don't know how many of us have heard of that. Now the Wahhabis, the ones, some of the people who like Yazid, They say, yeah, three bad things happened during the time of Yazid. One of them was the killing of Hussein. But Yazid wasn't responsible for that. Ubaydullah was. May Allah curse Ubaydullah. Right? They make sure that they do that. Yeah, may Allah curse him and Shimr. Once again, you know, like, you think it's something special to do that? Even my kids do that. Understand that. Yeah, may Allah curse. So that was something bad that happened, but Yazid, it wasn't his fault. I want you guys to remember this stuff. So then when someone says that to you, you don't just pass out. You heard it before. Pass out now. Just pass out now. Number one. Number two, they say, Waq'atul Harra. Or Waq'atu Harra. The incident of Harra. Harra, in a nutshell, the people, they grow tired of Yazid. They don't like Yazid. Of course, when they gave bay'ah during Muawiyah's time, it was just to save themselves. So then when they get the chance, they take back their bay'ah. They revolt against Yazid and throw out the governor of Medina that Yazid has appointed. Yazid isn't going to take that. So for 3 days, he sends his army. He says, if they don't give in, for 3 days, you can do whatever you want in Medina to his soldiers. Whatever you want is halal. And God knows how much stuff happened. The worst and disgusting things happened in those 3 days. And blood was shed. Companions of the Prophet were killed. That's Waq'atu Harra. Now anyway, here when the people have taken back their bay'ahs from Yazid, before the army of Sham comes to just destroy them, Abdullah bin Umar is sitting with his children. لما خلع الناس يزيد بن معاوية جمع Abdullah bin Umar بني Abdullah bin Umar, he brings his kids around him and his sons and his family, and he says, أما بعد, we gave our bay'ah to this person, Yazid. على بيع الله تبارك وتعالى وبيع الرسول ورسوله. The bay'ah we gave him is the bay'ah of Allah and Rasulullah. That's how strong this is, this bay'ah that I've given to Yazid, that all of us did. And I have heard the Prophet say that on the Day of Judgment, the ones who are betrayers, a big flag will be put next to them to show that this person was a betrayer. And I see the greatest of all betrayals for one to give bay'ah to someone and then to break their bay'ah. God. If you break your bay'ah with someone, that is the worst of betrayals. And that's right, if the bay'ah is legitimate. Yeah? So he tells his kids, you cannot take back your bay'ahs from Yazid. And don't even think about it. And if you do, now there's two accounts here. Either my sword is between me and you, or there's a cut between me and you. That means you're not my kids anymore. I'm denouncing you. Wow. So this is as far as, this is the extra that I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. The extra that I'm talking about now. Right, if you were doing it because, you know, you just want to do it because, you know, you have to. All right, just keep it at that. And now he's telling his kids to come. He could have told his kids and his family, okay, just don't make noise because stuff is going to go down soon. But no, he tells them, this is the bay'ah of Rasulullah and Allah. And on the Day of Judgment, the Prophet's going to say, if you betray, then this is going to happen to you. Oh my God, have you done, this is like the bay'ah of a prophet that you're talking about. Not the bay'ah of Yazid. Alright, so that's number two, brothers and sisters. Number three is painful, and we're going to end with this one. And now I want you to remember that line I told you to remember when he's speaking to Imam Hussein, Abdullah bin Umar. He tells Imam Hussein, the Prophet told me you will be killed, and anyone who doesn't aid you will be belittled and will suffer from dhilla and lowliness. I want you to remember that. Now look at this. After Abdul Malik bin Marwan becomes Khalifa, remember we talked about Marwan and the Marwanites. He sends Hajjaj bin Yusuf, the most bloodthirsty of them all. He sends him to Mecca to defeat Abdullah bin Zubair. You don't have to worry about these names. I know you're kind of, some of you, it's too many names, but Hajjaj goes from Mecca to Medina after that. Hajjaj is like a general that is crazy. He's just crazy. He wants to see blood. He goes to Medina. Abdullah bin Umar is there. Abdullah bin Umar comes to him at the night. Now, according to the account of Ibn Abil Hadid, it goes like this. Hajjaj comes to Medina. Abdullah bin Umar went to him nightly and asked to give allegiance. Hey, no one asked you to come. I want to give allegiance to who? To Abdul Malik bin Marwan, the new Khalifa. Hajjaj asked him, why in such a rush? Habibi, mustajil inti, you're rushing. What's going on? And then here, according to this account, Abdullah bin Umar says that the Prophet has said, whoever dies and doesn't know the Imam of his time dies the death of Jahiliyyah. But you think Hajjaj bin Yusuf is stupid? He's okay, you want to give bay'ah? Fine. Look at you, coming at night. أَنْتَ لَا تَسْلُحْ لِأَمُدَّ يَدِي إِلَيْكَ. You're not good enough for me to put my hand out, so you give bay'ah to me on behalf of Abdul Malik bin Marwan. قُمْ وَبَايِعْ رِجْلِي وَبَايِعْ رِجْلَهُ. Get up and do bay'ah with my foot. Remember that line? And this is also narrated by Baqir al-Sharif al-Qurashi. Unfortunately, he doesn't say where he gets it from. The best, the oldest source that I could find was Ibn Abil Hadid, and I didn't have time to look for it more. This is that third thing about him. So now do you understand, brothers and sisters, why the Shia school of thought might have some reservations here? Because what we see, everything is wrong. In our books, this is everything is wrong here. Inshallah, tomorrow night, we're going to move on to a letter that the Imam writes to the Bani Hashim, giving them one last chance to join him as he's in Mecca, inshallah. Recite a salawat. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. There's this child I want to talk about tonight who grows very old. He grows very old to survive all those years, to be able to have the honor to be killed in the ranks of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Back in the day when the Prophet was alive in Medina, they say that once he picked up a child, he saw a kid, not a child, a kid, that he's hugging. The Prophet is hugging a kid. What's going on? Who is this kid that the Prophet loves? They ask him, why are you hugging this child? What's so insignificant? What's so significant about this kid that you're hugging, that you're receiving like this? The Prophet says, this kid plays with my Hussein. My Hussein is a very young child. This is an older kid. He plays with my Hussein. I love this kid. This is what we have in our accounts. He grows up to become a companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, fighting alongside Amir al-Mu'mineen, and this person is none other than Habib bin Mudahir. What a life, what an honor. The Prophet, according to some accounts, has hugged him because of Hussein. I mean, what else would you ask for? Ya Rasulullah, we pray that you, because of Aba Abdullah, in these majalis you stroke our heads too. I mean, what else can we do? We're trying our best. We're sorry if we're still breathing after the musibah of Aba Abdullah, if we're still alive when Ashura comes around. Some ulama would die when Ashura would come around. They would die. He grows up to become a companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen, fights alongside Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he is so close to Amir al-Mu'mineen that Amir al-Mu'mineen, they say, has taught him special things now. He has special knowledge of certain things because he doesn't care about these things anymore. As Imam Ali had taught others like Maitham at Tamar these things as well. And because they had these special gifts from Amir al-Mu'mineen, their test was very hard. Maitham at Tamar, his test was very hard. They say once in Kufa, Habib bin Mudahir, his path crosses with, he bumps into Maitham at Tamar. This is before Ashura. All of this is happening before all of that. They come across each other. They love each other very much. They start joking with each other. Habib tells Maitham, because they say Habib could see the future. Imam Ali had taught him that. And Maitham could also see that. Imam Ali had told them their stories. They knew what's going to happen to them. They don't care anymore. Habib tells Maitham, I see someone who they have crucified, and they are tearing his belly out because of his love of Ahlul Bayt. In other words, this is going to happen to you, and I know it. But they're joking around with each other. They could care less. Ahlul Bayt is everything for them. Naitham al-Tammar turns back. He says, I see someone whose head they will be carrying around in Kufa. Oh Habib, your head is still on your body, but there will be a time that they will take your head around because you were one of the greatest generals. And they'll be honored that we have the head of Habib. They fought over the head of Habib on Ashura, brothers and sisters. They fought over his head. Him and his other friend now, after Maitham al-Tammar has been killed, before Ashura, of course. Ashura is approaching Habib bin Mudahir, Muslim bin Awsaja. These two friends, they say, we have to leave Kufa. But everyone, if they've closed off all of the roads, it doesn't matter. We'll go through other ways. They leave Kufa. Brothers and sisters, if you want to make a sacrifice to Allah, you're going to have to make sacrifices to make that sacrifice that you want to make. This Muslim and Habib, they don't say, okay, we want to make this sacrifice. We're going to wait for it to come to us. No, they go to it. Brothers and sisters, they will fight to get there so they can be killed for Abu Abdullah. We have to make sacrifices. I want to be a good individual. You have to make sacrifices to be a good individual. It's not going to be easy. On the night of Ashura, one of the companions of Imam Hussein is standing out in the dark of the night, maybe looking at the stars. Maybe looking at what he's going to be doing tomorrow when the fight starts. Nafi' bin Hilal, his name is. And he overhears Lady Zainab in her tent speaking to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, telling him, have you really tested your companions? Are you sure you can rely on your companions? Nafi' bin Hilal hears this and he gets so upset. Are you sure they're not like the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen to leave him alone? Tomorrow is a big day. Abu Abdullah says, don't worry, I have tested them, I know them. These are not ones who are going to flee the battlefield. Nafi' bin Hilal overhears this. Who does he go to? Who else can he go to except the old friend of Hussein? He goes to Habib bin Mudahir. He tells him, Lady Zainab, apparently she doesn't believe in us yet. She's still not assured and we need someone to reassure her. So they go to the tent of Lady Zainab. They keep a distance, of course, because as I said, awliya Allah have ghira. Oh, Lady Zainab, we want you to know that we will stay till the last drop of blood. There's no way we're going to retreat. This is what we're here for. This is what we've been longing for. Then the Ashura comes. And Habib is set on the left wing of the Imam's army, this seasoned old warrior. He might be old, but he's seasoned. He knows what to do. They're after him too. Salat time arrives. Some have been killed. Salat time comes. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein says, stop, we're going to have to pray now. And then a monster says, oh Hussein, your prayer is not accepted. Habib bin Mudahir says, Imam Hussein, son of Rasulullah's prayer not accepted and your prayer accepted, monster. And he attacks him and he destroys him. But a time comes, brothers and sisters, that Habib now sees that his friend has fallen to the sand of Karbala. Muslim bin Awsaja is on the ground now. He comes up to the body of Muslim. Abu Abdullah, they say, is standing next to the body of Muslim. Muslim is in his final moments. Habib bin Mudahir comes and Habib tells him, oh friend of mine, if I didn't know that I'm going to be killed soon, I would tell you, you give me your will. Tell me what your wishes are. I would carry them all out. But what can I do that I'll be killed soon anyway? What does Muslim say? Muslim says, he points to Abu Abdullah. He says, just take care of this man. That's all I want from you. Habib says, don't worry, that's taken care of. But then a time comes when he is on his horse, Habib bin Mudahir, he is struck in his head and the blood covers him. Blood is all over the place. A spear is used to bring him down from the horse. The spear penetrates his body. Habib bin Mudahir falls. If Abu Abdullah was going to the body of the companions before the enemies made it to the bodies to behead them, there was one person in Ashura before Abu Abdullah was killed that was beheaded and they fought over his head. Habib, before Abu Abdullah can make it to his body, the head of Habib is severed. They are fighting over his head. Abdullah arrives. He says, "This is a tragedy that I will be rewarded from Allah. For this is a tragedy that I cannot bear." They hang the head of Habib on the horse's neck, riding around amongst the ranks, showing off what their trophy looks like. Oh Habib, what a life you have lived. Oh Habib, what a life you have lived. Help us take lesson from your life. These companions, they did everything for Abu Abdullah. The least we can do is try to follow their footsteps. The lovers of Hussein, falling one by one, like stars in the sky, losing their light to the sun. If the sun has to come out, which is Abu Abdullah, these stars have to slowly go. They have to give their light to Abu Abdullah. As they fall on the sands, Hussein comes to their side. This cannot be called death. This is exactly what they call life. But when Hussein will fall, Fatima comes to his side. Someone tells Shimr not to draw his knife. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أي منقلب ينقلبون.
Mola John, what's the meaning of living without you? Mola John, what's the meaning of living without you? Mola John, what's the meaning of prayer without you? Mola John, what's the meaning of iman without all together? Mola John, what's the meaning of living? No matam, just three. Mola John, what's the meaning of living without you? Mola John, what's the meaning of prayer without you? Mola John, what's the meaning of prayer without you? Shahidain Karbala, 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 Shahidain Karbala. Habib and Muslim have come to ask for permission to join. Habib and Muslim have come to ask for permission to join the garden of love of Allah, fountain of death for wilayah. The garden of love of Allah, fountain of death for wilayah. Mawla Hussein is restless, I can't let you go, my friends. Mawla Hussein is restless, I can't let you go, my friends. This has no meaning to this man. They ask Mawla a small question. Mawla John, what's the meaning of living without you? Mawla John, what's the meaning of living without you? Mawla John, What's the meaning of prayer without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of Iman with everyone, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of prayer without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of Iman? One more time. Mawla Jan, what's the meaning of living without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of living without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of prayer without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of Iman? Without you, Shahidain Karbala, Shahidain Karbala, your voices, Shahidain Karbala, Shahidain Karbala, Shahidain Karbala, Habib al-Muslim have come to ask for permission to smell. Habib al-Muslim have come to ask for permission to smell the perfume breeze of Shahada, the real vera of distress. After Hussein, where is the sense to kiss from under his feet? After Hussein, where is the sense to kiss from under his feet? After Hussein, where's the smile to seek for refuge in the heat? After Hussein, where is the smile to seek for refuge in the heat? Mawla Jan, there's no life for us without you, Mawla Jan. There's no life for us without you, Mawla Jan. Which footsteps to adore without you, Mawla Jan? Who smile to live for without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of living? Ah, Mawla Jan, what's the meaning of living without you? Oh, Mawla Jan, what's the meaning of prayer without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of Iman without you, Shahidain Karbala? Karbala, Shahidain Karbala, Shahidain Karbala, Shahidain Karbala. Habib al-Muslim have come to ask for permission to taste. Habib al-Muslim have come to ask for permission to taste the sweetest of sharp arrows, delightful flavor of spears. To sweet the taste of sharp arrows, delightful flavor of spears. For you, Hussein, these hearts beat. For you, Hussein, these chests beat. For you, Hussein, these hearts beat. For you, Hussein, these chests beat. These nails created for you, these nails created for you. We have a small question for you, Mawla Jan. What life have we known without you, Mawla Jan? What a life have we known without you, Mawla Jan? This blood in our veins is for you, Mawla Jan. Our souls were created for you, Mawla Jan. What's the meaning of living? I am Mawla Jan. What's the meaning of living? Mawla Jan. What's the meaning of prayer without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of prayer without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of living without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of living without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of prayer without you, Mawla Jan? What's the meaning of Iman without you?
Mawla Hussein, Mawla,
مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا حسين مولا everyone مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا علي مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا حسين مولا مولا حسين مولا 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 حسين 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 مولا حسين مولا It has been 1400 years since his sacrifice Every time I remember his martyrs and my heart cries Instead of loving thee, son of Rasulullah They slaughtered him with thirsty lips in the land of Karbala Instead of loving thee, son of Rasulullah They slaughtered him with thirsty lips in the land of Karbala Mawla Hussain Mawla Hussain Mawla For the followers of Ali and mothers of Zahra For the followers of Ali and lovers of Zahra Ya Hussain Mawla مولا حسین مولا مولا حسین مولا حسین مولا For the followers of Ali, lovers of Zahra Every day is Ashura, every land is Karbala We say until our death لبيك يا حسين بأبي أنت وأمي يا حسين We say until our death لبيك يا حسين بأبي أنت وأمي يا حسين مولا حسين مولا 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 مولا If you wanna become a true Shia of Mahdi If you wanna become a true Shia of Mahdi Every day of your life based on the teachings of Mahdi If you wanna become a true Shia of Mahdi If you wanna become a true Shia of Mahdi Follow the scholars in the time of Ghaybat of Mahdi Those who didn't follow the Na'ib of Hussein In Karbala they kill Hussein and children of Hussein Those who betrayed Muslim, the Na'ib of Hussein In Karbala they killed Hussein and children of Hussein Mawla Hussain Mawla Mawla Hussain Mawla Mawla Hussain Mawla Remember the Kufis also invited their Mawla. The people of Kufa betrayed son of Zahra, sold their faith with the promise and betrayed him for dunya. The people of Kufa betrayed son of Zahra, sold their faith with the promise and betrayed him for dunya. Mawla Hussain Mawla, Mawla Hussain Mawla,
Mawla
Hussain
Mawla,
Mawla
Hussain Mawla, Mawla Hussain Mawla, Hussain Mawla.
Like martyrs who gave up their lives in the way of Ali, like martyrs who gave up their lives in the way of Ali, we call out Ya Hussein and we follow Sayyid Ali. In the struggle with kuffar and zulm and istikbar, we say the zikr of Dawhidar al-Karrar. In the struggle with kuffar and zulm and istikbar, we say the zikr of Ya Haydar al-Karrar. Mawla Ali, Mawla, Mawla Ali, Mawla, Mawla Ali, Mawla Ali, Mawla, Mawla Ali, Mawla,
Ali Mawla, Mawla Ali Mawla, Mawla Ali Mawla, Ali Mawla. Abad Allah, Ya Zahra, Ma Ninsa Husayna. Abad Allah, Ya Zahra, Ma Ninsa Husayna. Abad Allah, Ya Zahra, ما ننسى حسينا. أبد والله يا زهرة 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 ما ننسى حسينا. لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، محمدا رسول الله. لا إله إلا الله، لا إله محمدا رسول الله. لا إله إلا الله، لا إله محمد رسول الله. لا إله لا إله محمد رسول الله. علي ولي الله، 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 علي ولي الله. نادي علي يا مظهر العجائب، نادي علي يا مظهر العجائب. تجنون من لك في النوائب، كل هم وغم سينجلي، كل هم وغم سينجلي بعزمتك يا بعزمتك، بنبوتك، بنبوتك، بولايتك. علي 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 علي. صل على محمد وعلي محمد.
السلام عليك السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين. يا حسن ابن علي والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا. السلام على تسعة المعصومين من ولد الحسين. السلام عليك يا مولانا يا صاحب الزمان. عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك. السلام عليكم أئمتي جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.